good morning. Amen. Amen. Bless your heart. Amen. Bless your heart. Everybody follow the Lord. We can say this is a Christmas service, but it's a day of worship. It's what it is, and we should worship our Lord today. Merry Christmas to everyone is what I'd like to say, and I'm just thankful to see each and every one here today. I realize we have several that are out today due to the fact of it being Christmas Eve, and people are traveling and going places and meeting with family members, but I'm tickled to death just to see you today. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord today, and it's good for us to be here today, and I hope and pray that you will be receiving a great big blessing today for being in the house of the Lord. And so we are just so glad that you're here today, and I just pray that we will worship the Lord during this service today. We, as Brother Key said, we had a good Sunday school lesson today, and it was one that caused us to think a little bit, and that's a good thing. One of the best things that any teacher can do is to make you think. Whenever that a teacher makes you think, you're starting to learn something or you're taking something in. It's causing you to use your head for a little bit more than a hat rack. Most people don't use a hat much anymore, but still, it is common for us to need to use our brain to think about what God's done. As Sister Barbara said today, I'm thankful to know that beautiful star. He is our shining light. He is the one that is so wonderful to us. And He is our great counselor in that He helps us in our day-to-day things. Oh, is He not great? Is He not great today? I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And we're thankful to be with each and every one today. The last song today that's going to be sung is going to be by our young people today. And so we're bypassing the children's church for that reason today. And they're going to sing a special for us today. And I'm looking forward to that being done. So we'll look forward to that. So we'll move on along with our service today. Does anybody have a prayer request? Or as we say in Sunday school, do you have a praise that you need to bring forth before the church today? Go ahead, miss. Thank you, Miss Linda. It's good to see you back with us today. I was fixing to say something about that, but I'll just move it up a little bit. It's good to see you able to be back. Just don't pat her on the shoulder. I went made fun with her and threatened to shake her hand. She said no. But it is good to see her back with us today. Her and Brother Sonny both. We're glad they're here. Anybody else got something on your heart? Pastor, yes?
I'm thankful for answered prayer this week. I had a situation where people were telling me, no, no, no. Mm. But God said yes.
Mm-hmm.
He came through for me.
Lord bless.
Praise His name.
Bless your heart, Brother Randall. That's good for us to praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes. We are thankful that Sister Jenna and Brother Chad, they were expecting, as you know, they had a bouncing baby boy. 6 pounds and so many ounces. And he was born, it would have been Friday. And they said they appreciated your prayers, but they asked you to continue to pray. And what I'm going to pray is you pray that that little baby will get saved. That if he makes it to the age of accountability, he'll get saved. And let's just pray for that. It's never too soon to start praying for those children to get saved. And we should start when we find out they're coming into this world. We should start then, But it's a good time to start if you haven't already. Somebody else? Any other prayer requests? We want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and we just thank you for being here today. And we just pray that this prayer will start us into another worship time, a time to think about our Lord. That's what this season is about. I'm going to stop right here and just say this. You've got hundreds of people that will tell you today, well, this is not the time that Jesus was actually born. I saw a couple of things this week where people were preaching about it's not the real time. We don't celebrate the President of the United States, our first president, we don't celebrate his birthday on his birthday anymore, right? But we set aside a time to celebrate. When we get our age, 9 times out of 10, we don't celebrate our birthday on the day we were born, right? But we celebrate. And that's what we're doing. We need to celebrate our Lord today. Celebrate the fact that he came into this world. Celebrate that he went on and gave his life. That's a lot to do. Somebody else? Appreciate everybody being here today. Glad to have our visitors that have come out to be with us today. Brother Key, would you start our prayer, please? Everybody pray.
World's greatest story. How precious it was this morning to hear that. We need a reminder every now and then, do we not? Thank y'all. We're going to change. We're a little loud. We're going to change our books this morning, Heavenly Highway Hymns, number 261. His name is wonderful. Wanted to sing a last song this morning as a prayer, basically. Number 179. Number 179.
Songs and titles, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. In a little town called Bethlehem, so many years ago, they told him there was no room in the inn, but they had no way of knowing that they turned away the Lamb of God who would take away their sins. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the hour that just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. people still today don't know who Jesus is. They've never felt his peace within their soul. But I want my life to show them how his love can set them free. He's the only one who can cleanse and make them whole. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Counselor, Deliverer to me. He's the Everlasting Father. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
I'll say it this way. There are pitchers, starting pitchers, and there's those that comes in from the bullpen, right? And sometimes those that comes in from the bullpen really do a good job, and the whole group did today. I was glad to hear that quartet sing today. And we have plenty of talent here at this church. A lot of times we do not use it to the very best of our ability. I hope we'll continue to start using that ability more and more in our church is what I hope we'll do. Enjoy the good singing this morning. Hope you have this morning. I hope it's got your heart ready to worship the Lord today. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? Now, I'm going to make a few quick announcements just in case somebody gets in a hurry and needs to leave. I realize there's a lot of people in a hurry today because it is Christmas Eve and Christmas get-togethers and dinners and such as that. We will not have Bible study this week, but we will be back here next Sunday. And it will be the last Sunday of this year, of 2023. I don't know about you, but I can remember a time when I didn't think we could ever see 2000. And here we are at 2023. And fixing, if the Lord be willing, to make it to 2024. This church has been blessed greatly over this past year. There's been trials, there's been difficulties, there's been great blessings. We've been blessed to see, I guess it's, I hadn't counted up lately. I guess it's 8 or 9 to be saved in this church this year. And that's a great blessing. But as we always talk about setting resolutions for people. This church needs to set a resolution to see more people saved than what we saw next year. You'll notice that I said, if the Lord will, we'll see 2024. Who knows when he's coming back? And who knows when that opportunity will end for those souls to be saved? So it should be our goal this year to see more than 9 souls saved. Now, what I'd love to see is at least twice that many. At least twice that many get saved. We thought that service where we had 4 to get saved in one time was good. Boy, wouldn't it be good to see twice that many? There's a lot of people that came up to me at the association, and afterwards they said, now, y'all been blessed a lot. Y'all had some good revival. Y'all had a good revival. Yeah. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to say we had even more? Not only for the revival, but for every Sunday. That's something for us to think about. Start setting your New Year's resolution on a spiritual note. is what I would ask you to do. Anybody got anything on your heart? Word of testimony or anything? I appreciate everything that's been done today. Again, we're glad to have our visitors with us today. Thank you for coming to be with us. We are so thankful that you have come. And we just pray that you'll be blessed enough that you'll want to come back. But if you can't come back next Sunday, make sure you say a prayer for us. Make sure you say a prayer for us. Last Sunday, the children done the Christmas program. And, of course, they read the same reading lesson or a portion of my reading lesson. Today, the Sunday school class read the same reading lesson that I'm going to read today. A little different, but bear with us. Second chapter of the book of Luke is where we're going. You know I'm not a preacher of occasion is what I call myself, but sometimes the Lord gives us thoughts that we need to bring out on the occasions. Today's message will not be solely about the birth of Christ, but it's something that I hope that we'll take to heart today. We're taking our reading lesson from 2nd chapter of Luke. Last week I read down to verse 7. Let's start with verse 8 today. And it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Joy which shall be..." Let me read the entire verse again. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." This is reading verse 17. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child." That's reading verses 8 through 17, and that's with my many mistakes this morning in reading. But that's from the second chapter of Luke today for our reading lesson. Our thought today, I thought Brother Stewart was going to get all over my message today. He got close a time or two, but he never really got on it a lot. So hopefully this message today will be an add-on to the Sunday school lesson today. For you that were not here today, we talked about the birth of Christ. We talked about the different aspects of it. Who was there at the birth of Jesus? And he brought out a good point. Who was there when he was born? Jesus, that is. And they said, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And that's really all there were in that stable that day. He talked about the shepherds coming and why them and why they came in. And there were some good points about that. We talked about the wise men that really scripturally, if you study it, they didn't come to the stable. They went to a house is what the Bible tells us in Matthew's writings. But we still put it as part of the story is what we do. And really and truly, it's all right to have the wise men included in this because it's about the Annunciation of Jesus. Now, our thought today is rejoicing in His coming. That's what I want us to think about today. Today, in our thought today, in our minds, I want us to rejoice at the coming of Jesus. I guarantee you, every one of you, when you were the size of these little ones over here, you had a great thought about what was going to happen on Christmas morning. Now, I don't know how you did it. My kids were a little different than me. On Christmas morning, I woke up, and whenever I woke up and I thought it was time that we should go open presents, I got up. Most of the time, it was 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. It's still dark. I can remember one time when Mother and Daddy made me go back to bed after we had opened the presents, because it was not even 2 o'clock in the morning. They made me go back to bed. Kids, don't do your parents that way. They'll make you go back to bed. Now, the thing that I want to think about is, in that morning, when you think about those gifts that you got, most of the time, and I love watching children open their gifts, because when they open those gifts, there is a light that goes on in their eyes. Even if it's something that they hadn't thought about. Last night we had a little bit of a family get together, and the kids, some of the gifts that they got, they had not thought about. Some of them, they were things that they had asked for. And when they got them, they looked at them, and they was wowed, and it was good. One of the gifts, and Brantley was this way. He said, "It's a set of headphones." And then Amber explained what they were actually for, and then his eyes lit up, and he was glad, and he started rejoicing at it. And I'm not meaning shouting and hallelujah and everything, but he was glad to get it. One of the things I've thought about a lot in this Christmas season is the expressions of the people that came that night to the manger, I guess we'll say. What did they do? Think about the shepherds as they came in into a stable, and they saw two adults, a man and a woman, and then a little baby that they had been told about by the angels of God. And they found it just as the angels had said. And what they saw, what was the expressions on their faces? What would have been your expression in that day? We don't have any idea of what they saw or how they felt at that moment in time. I kind of liken it unto the first time that I met Jesus. That was glory. There was a beauty that happened within me in that moment in time. And in their eyes, they saw something beautiful. In their faces, there must have been a glow. I've thought about the different ones that have gotten saved, as we talked about earlier in the service, and the different ones, different people react different ways. But there is usually a little bit of a glow that comes out of people when they first get saved. And when I think about that glow, a lot of times I guess we would call it a brightness in their face, a prettier smile than they usually have. And in that smile, there is a wonder in them of just how good this is. And you think about those shepherds seeing that baby for the first time. Probably much like the first time that we met him today. And Lord, we see the angels, first of all, how that they came to announce that great event in that day. Nobody else knew in that area about that baby being born. Just Mary and Joseph themselves. But God wanted to allow the people to know that Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ child, was born. And so he allowed the angels to come down and announce it to these shepherds out there in the field. And as they were abiding their flocks, they saw this great view. They saw the heavenly host that was standing before them. And they saw the angels rejoicing at the coming of the Savior. They had heard about what was going to happen. But really and truly, they did not know what the plan of salvation was. They didn't know that all things as it would happen. But they knew about the Messiah going to come. And they had gotten the word from Gabriel as he had told Mary and Joseph about this promised child. And as they had seen these things, there was a great expectation of the Messiah as he was coming. And as they came down in that morning, early morning light, I think it would have been, as they were coming in that place, they started to glorify God, started announcing what the Lord was bringing in to the people in that day. That this was not just any other little child, but it was the Son of God. It was the Messiah, the Christ child, that it was coming into this world at this time. He was promised by God from the very foundations of the world. He was promised by God, by the prophets, by Moses, and by the psalmists themselves. As they talked about the Messiah coming, this child. And it was a blessing in that day for them just to start glorifying and rejoicing at these things. But as they did this, no doubt the shepherds that had heard about the same story about the Messiah coming, no doubt in that moment in time, they started to rejoice inside of their hearts, rejoicing that the Messiah had come and rejoicing that he had come finally for them. Many of the people in those days, they saw that Messiah as going to be a conquering king like David, that he would free them from the pains and agony of the Roman Empire. But he was not that kind of a king. He was going to free men of the pain and the agony of sin. No longer would they be enslaved by the Roman people, but by the sin that is in the world. And what that Messiah was going to do was going to deliver them from sin. He was going to be that little lamb. He was going to be the lamb that was sacrificed for their sins. I don't know exactly how much those shepherds knew about the prophecy. They studied it. I want you to understand something today. The Jews had to study the Word of God. It was a requirement for all of the men especially to study the Word of God as it was in the Law and the Prophets. They knew those prophecies. And when it was announced to them, they said, let us go and see. Let us go and see this great thing. No doubt rejoicing as they went. But as they came to the stable, now I don't care what your imagination is as far as whether you believe it was like an old barn that we're used to or whether it was a cave, it doesn't matter. It's just the fact it was where the Christ was born. And as they stepped in to that stable, into that barn or whatever you want to call it in that day, the fact that they saw the Messiah in that day, they started to rejoice. No doubt they told Mary and Joseph what the angels had told them. They started proclaiming God's goodness and glory. And as you notice here in the last verse that we read, and he said, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I kind of liken that, if you would, to the Samaritan woman. After that she had met Jesus, the Bible said that she left her water pots and she went back into the city and she was saying, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Messiah? You know, a lot of times I kind of get in my head. She went in there talking to people. The Messiah is out here at Jacob's well. You need to come and see him. He told me all that ever I did. She went through the town. But no doubt the joy of her salvation in that moment in time, and in case you missed it, she got saved out there that day. She got that taste of that water, living water, which springeth up into everlasting life. And when she got that taste, it was a different woman than they'd ever saw before. She was going from place to place, house to house, no doubt. Come see this man. No doubt these shepherds did the same thing. As they started out through the town itself, the people they met, they told, hey, the angels appeared to me tonight. They showed us that the Christ child had been born. Woo! Think about that today as you would be in that town. Somebody walking by. The Lord has showed us great things in that day. Think about it today, how that they went from person to person saying the Messiah was born in our town. The Messiah is a little baby down here. He's come to save us from our sin. He has come in such a way that we cannot hardly imagine, but rejoicing at his coming. In the 11th chapter of Romans, I want us to continue on with the thought of rejoicing at his coming. In the 11th chapter of Romans, Paul puts it this way in the 36th verse. And he says, for to him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. You know what he's saying at that time? It's Jesus. He is the one. He made us. He helped do that. He helped to save our souls. It's through him and to him that this glory should come. Now, as Jesus went through his life, he started showing the people many great works and many great things. And one of the things that I want to bring out to you today, I want you to look at the book of Zechariah in the 9th chapter. And I want you to take a look at this 9th verse. And remember, we're talking about rejoicing at his coming. It says in the 9th verse, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the fold of an ass." Now, this is a reference in prophecy to a great event that happened in the scripture. And that great event was one that the Lord showed us in the, excuse me, if I can get my Bible turned to the right place here. Well, there it is. Excuse me. I apologize for that. In the 19th chapter of Luke. In the 19th chapter of Luke, the prophecy was that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass, a colt that had never been ridden before. Now, this is not part of the main story here that I want to get, but this was a sign to Jerusalem and Israel and Judah that the Messiah was there. They done got the birth. They done heard the angels, what the angels did. They done seen this Messiah come out before them and starting to preach. Now, no doubt there was times like the Samaritan woman that people rejoiced at his coming. I'll tell you the truth. I believe when John the Baptist told the people there at the water's edge, they said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." There was people there that rejoiced to see him coming. They rejoiced to see him as he walked in among them, as he walked down to John the Baptist to receive the baptism that God had instructed John to give him. They were people that were rejoicing. You know what it is to rejoice? Sometimes I think we as old-time Baptists, we've forgotten. Rejoicing is being glad. And not just being glad enough to smile, but to shout the praise of God. Glory to God in the highest. Wait a minute, I done that wrong. Glory to God in the highest, he said. Rejoicing at his coming. Rejoicing in the joy that Jesus brings unto us today. Has Jesus gave you any joy in this past few weeks? Has he given you thoughts of joy and happiness in this time? Did he remind you of the day that he saved your soul? Did he remind you of the peace that he put there? Did he remind you that you have eternal life and that that eternal life is going to not be just in speech and in mind, but eternity forever and ever and ever that we cannot comprehend? But he has given that to us that have been born into his family. We are able to rejoice in these great works that he did. Listen to what Luke wrote down about this event. And it says, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice. I asked you today earlier, have you thought about what the shepherds, how they reacted to it? There was a lot of people in Jerusalem who knew the Lord at this time. They had heard the preaching of John the Baptist that said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And they repented. They were saved. There was people that heard Jesus preach, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is at hand." And they repented and believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And then there was the disciples that went out two by two, and they preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the people believed and repented and were saved. And then the disciples, after that, they went out two by two also, and they preached the same thing. And again, people were saved. And these people that were around Jerusalem in that day, and they knew what this prophecy meant. And when Jesus was coming in on that colt that had never been ridden, they started to rejoice. Now notice, with loud voices, for all the mighty works that he had done, that they had done. Have you been able to do a work for the Lord lately? Maybe in this past year? Did you receive a blessing from Jesus that was a great spiritual blessing? On top of that, you got a little bit of a nudge physically, we'll say. Maybe you got a better job. Maybe you got a new family. Maybe you got your family in a better shape. Maybe things came together in a physical way. But the most precious blessings that God gives us is because God is a spirit, and he seeks those of us to worship him in spirit and in truth. So when that those moments that the Lord just touches our hearts and we feel that blessing inside of him working inside of us, isn't that good? Isn't it good to feel that? Just to rejoice a little bit at that moment in time. But truthfully, we ought to be just like these people, shouting for joy, shouting his praise, shouting at the very thought of the Messiah coming into our midst. Not only did he walk right in to Jerusalem in that day, but he walked right into our hearts. And when he walked into our hearts, he walked right into our church house. And when he walked into our church house, when we opened up our hearts to him and started to praise him, did we not rejoice? Sister Cheryl's not here today, but I saw her rejoice. I saw some of you rejoice. Oh. Can we rejoice at his coming? How about when he left? In the last chapter of Luke, let me give you a couple of verses, and I've read them several times, but boy, it didn't have the impact like it did this time. 50th verse, and he said, and he left out as far, he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them, carried up into heaven. Listen to 52. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. We should rejoice at the coming of the Lord when he comes into our hearts. But even when we have those times when we are downtrodden, those times when life has gotten too heavy for us, and we start to think, God, where are you? Remember, he just left you, but he's still right there. He's right here. In those days when you feel so bad that you can't go another step, he's right there. He just expects you to rejoice. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? You know what rejoicing will do? When you're down, it'll lift you up. You know what rejoicing will do? When things seem so bad, it'll make you feel good. What will rejoicing do when you talk to God about these things? It'll lift you up to a place you hadn't been in a while. It'll remind you that he was right there. Remember what Luke said in the book of Acts, which is basically a continuation of the gospel of Luke. When he talked about Jesus going away, he said there was two men in white apparel that were standing close by, and they said, "Why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus whom you saw go away shall come again in like fashion. Listen to what he said here. "And we're continuing in the temple, praising and blessing God," is what they did. That's in the 50th, last chapter of Luke. My friends, today, when Jesus came and he worked and he did for us, he gave us something to rejoice about. But my friends, he's coming again. He's coming again. And we, which are on this earth, you might say, how in the world, you said forever a while ago, how in the world will that ever happen? Didn't know how these verses were going to blend in, but boy, I do now. You go over to Luke, Paul's writings in Corinthians, 42nd verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, "And so is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption." This old mortal body is going to be raised up. When does that happen? When Jesus comes. Paul wrote it in Thessalonians. He said, "We will not prevent them which are in the grave." He said, "For in that day," he said, "the graves will burst open at the sound of the archangel, at the trump of God, and the shout of God." You know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be praising, rejoicing in heaven because they're coming back with Jesus to pick up everybody that's saved here upon this earth. That's something to rejoice about right there, because the way I look at it, I'm going to be in that number. If I'm still alive and remaining here upon this earth when he comes back, you know what I'm going to do? I seen a little depiction of it the other day. Somebody had put together, and they sounded a trumpet in the background. And this man kind of looked up and looked around. And then he went over and he looked out his garage door. Soon as I hear that trumpet, I ain't going to have to wonder. None of his saints are going to have to wonder. We're going to say, "Hallelujah, it's time. He's coming for me." Let us rejoice. It is coming. What I would say, though, to those that are not ready at this time, you better look for his coming. Not for that time, but for the day that he'll come into your heart, where you can rejoice that he's come into your soul and made it clean. Why did Jesus come? That was Brother Stewart's question today. Why did he come? He saved sinners? Yeah. That's a good, easy answer. He came into this world so that you and I could be saved, that we could have eternal life. He could take our sins upon Himself. No matter how sorry we are. And I don't mean any of us is sorry. I'm just the one that was sorry. I was an old sinner. I might have been, 14 year old. But I'll tell you what I was still a wretched, sorry sinner. And he came to save me. And if he'd save me, he'd save you. That's what he'd do. Oh, rejoice in his coming. If you haven't met him just yet, I want you to know something. You can today. I can think of no better time than for you to start praying to God for your soul's salvation today. Whether it's here at this altar or in your seat today, I can think of no better time than right now for you to start to wanting Jesus to come into your heart. You can rejoice at his coming. What does it take? What did I tell you, John? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is repenting? You have a sin that says you haven't fully believed Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now,
you have that. It's not how much you drink.
It's not
how many drugs you've done. It's not how many men or women you've been with. It's not how much you stole or whatever you coveted in your life. This is that
sin. And I want you to go back
to what I said a while ago.
When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin. It's singular. He didn't say he'd take every one of the sins out of this world. That's why we still have murderers, rapists, and all the others, sins that's in the world today. Because he came to do a sin, take care of the sin of unbelief in your heart. Now, this is what he requires. A complete turn. I'm not talking about just turning around the road, changing your life. That's you. I'm talking about a full, complete turn of heart. Really, truly believing that Jesus was that baby. Born of a virgin. That Jesus was the one that was baptized by John, that preached to the people of Israel in those days, who left this message here for you and I, who called out his disciples, and put a church. What that got to do with this? I can believe Jesus without believing that. You didn't believe all the way, did you? You got to believe everything that he ever did. And that takes
a little more than just saying, well, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's a little bit more. It's just saying, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it's not easy to get there.
But once you get there, it's good. Because then you can rejoice that Jesus is come. Brother Key, that's going to be our message today. The altar is always open in the church to those that would like to seek God. But that's our message today. Can you rejoice that Jesus has come? If you can't fully, truly rejoice, you better check your heart. You need to make sure that he is blessed you with salvation today. While we sing.
Number 41. Would you stand?